You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Welcome back. This is Two Amigos on our new flagship under the DolphinsTalk.com podcasting banner. My name is Carter Melrose. We're headed into week one. Hello, Jorge, my co-host.
Hey, Carter, how you doing, man? I'm so excited, man. So pumped to be here. So pumped to be a part of Dolphins Talk family and so ready for the season to get started.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Okay, and I want to plug something right before we go into this podcast today. Of course, we have the Patriots this Sunday. But as a little teaser, I also went on a Bills podcast, which will be dropping on Monday after the Patriots game. And I think that I held my own in debates against this Bills only guy, this Bills only host. So I'm really excited for that. And also, Jorge, I hope, and I asked him if he could come on our show next week, too.
Wait, what?
What
I'm
do you
kidding.
Mean?
I'm kidding. That's great. That's great. It's great.
You don't want him on the show?
No. It's great to have a Bills fan on the show and be able to, you know, talk smack in person.
Okay.
I'd be very worried if you didn't hold your own against the Bills fan. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. But really? You're just calling Bills fans dumb? Is that what you're doing, Jorge?
No, I'm calling you very, very smart and well prepared.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But here's the thing about all Bills fans, as I found out from this podcast experience, is that they are so cocky. They are so in the Wait. Realm of we're winning the Super Bowl. We're winning the Super Bowl.
So they might be right, actually. I have the Bills as my number one AFC team right now in my rankings.
Really? Over the Chiefs?
I do right now, yes. I think they're a better balanced team. I think they've got more depth on defense. I think that they're a better defensive team than Kansas City. And I think that on offense, Josh Allen is not to the level where Patrick Mahomes is as an individual player. But as a system and as a team, I do think they can put up points with anyone.
Okay, well, I would say that the only thing missing from the Chiefs offense that made them not unstoppable last season like they normally are is that their offensive line just cracked like a little saltine, and then in the offseason they did all that they could to rebuild that, so they should be unstoppable, right?
They're gonna be a very good team. I just think the Bills are gonna be just a little bit better.
Okay, that's really sweet of you to say about another AFC East team. That is
I will say this as well, by the way. If you think Bills fans are cocky now, wait until the end of the season when the Dolphins have a winning record for 2 years straight. And this Dolphins Twitter and this Dolphins fandom is just going to annoy the hell out of everyone in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think this division is about to pop off. We're about to be all over the headlines. I'm very excited for it.
They already hate us. If you look at like the tweet of Mina Kimes, which, by the way, I'm a huge fan of hers, Dan Orlovsky, all those guys are just tired of the crap that they're getting from Dolphins fans.
Yeah, very specifically Dolphins fans too. It is very funny. But you know, okay, I want to go right into the headlines that I have. I don't have a ton, honestly. And then this podcast is going to be broken up into two different parts. We're going to talk about this upcoming game against the Patriots, and then the other portion of this is going to be talking about the season as a whole. We got a bunch of predictions on that as well. So going into the headlines for this week, we're pretty shallow, but we have Shaheen and Austin Jackson. They both are out for Sunday, it looks like, because I think they have COVID or maybe. I don't really know. I know you hate Shaheen.
I do not. Okay, wait. I do not hate Shaheen. Okay. I respect people's opinions. People are entitled to have, you know, uneducated or wrong opinions.
Sure.
I'm not saying Shaheen has one of those. I'm just saying people have a right to whatever opinion they want. I will say this. I think that if you're part of a team and your actions put that team at risk of being at a competitive disadvantage, then maybe you have to look in the mirror and question your commitment to the team.
And that is fair. And that's a very political answer, you know, like a very, you know, a politician answer is my point.
So, I'm not going to, you know, say something that's going to, you know, drive people crazy.
No.
I think, look, obviously we know Shaheen's status because he's made it so public. And
right.
I think that's my issue with it, right? You're entitled to having your opinion, you're entitled to doing whatever you want. But when you start becoming adversarial against science and scientific facts, and when those actions put your team at risk, and now you're going to put them at disadvantage because they're not going to have you on Sunday, then maybe look in the mirror and question your commitment to the team.
And I think that's fair. And I think that's a fair statement. If it affects the team negatively, you can't be like, okay, you know, you got to kind of put your foot down a little bit. Okay, but the Austin Jackson absence is probably the one people are thinking, okay, this is probably not too good. What do you think this does for the offensive line?
Look, it's funny, right? Because with us and Dolphins Twitter and people around the team have gone after Austin Jackson because we feel he underperformed in training camp. He underperformed in preseason. People were kind of excited to see Greg Little in game three and holding in zone. And then Greg Little misses the first practice of the week. People go crazy. And look, I think the drop off from Austin to Greg is not that big. I think we don't know what Dolphins are going to do. One option is to put Jesse Davis at left tackle. The other and start Liam Eichenberg at right tackle. Obviously, Liam has been limited this week, and I'm not sure if you want to go with a rookie that's been limited this his first week of practice before going to his first game. Or you put Greg at left tackle, you put Jesse at right tackle, and then you hope that the veteran presence there holds it down for the Dolphins.
But I think that is the sad part. The reason that people find this kind of ugly, the Austin Jackson situation, is that you don't feel like you're losing out on a ton if Austin Jackson sits out for the week. But that's ugly because he's our first round pick from last year. And you think he should come onto his own, right?
I agree. And I think that, well, we're going to see a huge jump from year one to year two, for example, from Tua. I don't think we're going to see that from Austin this year. I'm not sure if it's...
Oh, you negative Nelly.
No, I think he's a very young player. I don't know. And I want to be very clear about that. I do not know his maturity level. I do not know what he did in the offseason to get ready for the season. But based on what we saw in that preseason and what people reported in training camp, one can assume that he wasn't as diligent as he could have been during the offseason.
Okay, well, I think that is fair, and I hope the best for Austin Jackson. And like I've said in the past, I think in defense of Austin Jackson, he has got a ton of time to develop, and we're going to give him a ton of time because we don't have a very good line. So I think he's, you know, right when he gets back, he's our starter again, and, you know, year two under his belt could look a lot better for him.
I do want to question that, though. I'm not sure if he's going to get his starting job back if he's not there Sunday.
You don't think so?
I think Greg Little is going to make a push for it. I think once Liam starts making a push for that right tackle, the coaches are going to look at moving Jesse Davis to left tackle. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen there.
Wow. Okay. Hot take from Jorge. Okay. So the next headline we got before we head into the two branches I told you about, Dolphins versus Patriots, and of course the season predictions. We have to do this. Tua's not a captain. And then I guess that was a headline. That was a headline for an entire day. Everyone was freaking out. And then they stopped freaking out, but it was something.
Look, I get it. Quarterbacks, because of their position, are expected to be captains, right? I mean, that's the expectation for that position. But let's look at the captains. They're all fifth, sixth year players. I think there's a seventh year player in there. Obviously, Jesse Davis is a big veteran. I think it's good. I mean, because the captain's role is not just on game day, right? They are the connection between the locker room and the coaching staff and the front office and ownership many times. And you want a guy that's been around the league to have one of those positions, right? Mm-hmm. I saw a number of Dolphins, of prominent people in Dolphins Twitter. Chris Kaufman was one of them, I think. And I apologize if I'm misquoting him, basically saying, you want someone who's been around the league, who knows what he's doing. I'd be more concerned if you were giving a first or second year player a C patch on as a captain.
Right.
And I think that's a very valid point. I think Tua, and Matt Colling said it perfectly, right? Tua's a leader. He doesn't need to be a captain. And something else that Mac mentioned was players that want to be a captain put their name in the hat, and then coaches pull out the name and people vote on it. I don't think, based on that I don't think Tua put his name on it. I don't think he cares about being captain. I think he cares about being a leader. I think he cares about pushing the guys to be better. And I think he's one of those of lead by example. I don't need the title.
I honestly don't even know what the title of captain means on a team, other than, I suppose, for the defense, it's a lot about, like, you know, play calling and stuff like that.
But that's not necessarily right. Elandon Roberts is one of the defensive captains, and Jerome Baker is a play caller because he's got the green patch on his helmet.
So what does it mean?
Once again, I think it's the guys that connect the locker room to the coaches and talk about, you know, schedule and talk about practice intensity and talk about how the locker room was feeling. It's not necessarily on the field.
Okay, well, I think Tua is going to do that either way, right? He's going to be a part of those conversations either way because he's the most important player on this team.
Yeah, but he's a second-year player. He's a very young player still. And yeah. I think he recognizes that. And I know that if he's going to have any questions about how to handle this or that in the NFL, he's got veteran players in the locker room he can ask that he doesn't necessarily have to lead, right? He's got right. Jesse Davis. He's got Jacoby Brissett in the quarterback room. And he can go ask, hey, guys, what do I do if this happens? And I'm not talking about on the field. Once again, I'm talking about off the field. Hey, guys, I got this weird request to appear on a great podcast called Two Amigos. What do I do then? Right. That's the sort of things you're going to have to ask about.
Yeah. And if I were him, I wouldn't take the invitation to come on the show. All right. And I wouldn't. I really wouldn't because it would be a bloodbath. But, you know,
I don't think that it would be a bloodbath. I think it would be us just fangirling over two of them.
I love that guy so much. No, but the one thing I will say about this situation is it seems a lot like what I think of a certain relationship idea. So the idea is this: when you need someone to say it, when you need someone to like kind of reassure you that you're a leader on this team through this title, okay, that's when the relationship is probably at its worst. So if you need someone to tell you that they love you all the time in a relationship, it's probably because the relationship isn't very good, right?
Yeah.
And I think he recognizes that he is a leader on this team and he doesn't need that little like, hey, guess what? You are a leader. We do trust you, because I think he knows everyone already loves him, right?
I agree. And here's the one scenario that I'm waiting for on Sunday. Dolphins offense on the field, 20 to 30 yard line, 30 to 40 yard line. On the opposing side, it's 3rd and 8. What are they going to do with the ball? Are they going to put it in Tua's hands and let him make a play? Or are they going to play it safe to the running backs? Because if they let him make a play, that's as big statement as you need that the Dolphins trust Tua as their starting quarterback.
And I think they'll let him do it. So, okay, let's just get right into it then. Where would you rather go? I'll let you pick your own adventure, Jorge. Do you want to go into the Patriots game now and then end with the season predictions, or you want to flip-flop that?
No, let's go with season predictions first.
Okay, sure.
And I'll keep the analysis shallow, not to spoil anything for the Patriots game.
Okay, so do you, and another choice you have with under this hood of the season predictions is, do you want to go game by game predictions to start, or would you like to do a game show, one or the other?
I have no idea what the game show option is, so obviously I'm going to go with that one.
Okay, let's go with the game show and then we'll work our way into it. So this is called Prop Bets Popped or Bopped. It's a terrible name, but I'm going to stick to it. So what I'm going to tell you is a prop bet that exists surrounding the Dolphins for the season. You're going to tell me if it's popped or bopped, basically over under. Okay.
Okay.
So this is the first one. The first one is Dolphins win loss prediction here for Vegas is 9.5 wins. You going over or under this, Jorge?
I'm going to go over for that one.
And why is it? Why over 9?
I think it's going to be 10 or 11 wins. I think the Dolphins have outperformed their roster every year. I have no reason to expect this year to go differently. This is the most talented roster Brian Flores has had. This is a team that he has shaped into his image. And there's no reason to think that they're going to underperform this year.
Yeah, and I'm so confused why people think that they could, with one more game, get less wins than last season when we're better than last season. I just don't understand it. Because Tua is definitely going to be better than he was last season.
Yeah, the offense is better.
The offense is so much better.
With a caveat of the offensive line, which we are yet to see.
Right.
But the defense is better. It was already a very good defense and it got better. So why would you expect them to? And they've got an easy schedule after week 5.
I mean, why would this offensive line be worse than last season other than Ted Karras being gone, right? That's the only move, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be a worse offensive line. I think it's going to be similar to last year, honestly. So
yeah. And obviously, I think if Tua gets rid of the ball in 2 to 3 seconds, it shouldn't be an issue.
Okay. There you go. I would say over too. I have no idea why you don't spend your life savings on over 9.5 wins, because that's something I'm thinking about doing.
I just want to say this as a legal disclaimer. Please do not take this as betting advice from
all
the show.
Right.
And definitely do not gamble your life savings on anything we say ever.
I'm going to do it. You don't have to if you don't want to. I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm going to take out loans. I'm going to take out mortgages on my parents' houses. Because I think 9.5 is way
You're just
too
a walking lawsuit, man. Dolphins Talk is going to just freak out about this.
I'm saying I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm going to do it. They don't have to do it. Okay, so the next one is Tua over under 25 touchdowns.
25. So that's over.
I don't know.
I would say over. I would say over.
You say over?
Yeah.
Okay, and any reason to that?
I just think he's going to average 2 touchdowns per game at least.
Yeah, that is – so if there's 17 games, that's averaging a little over one. A little over one.
I think it's going to be, you know, just a little under 2 maybe, so between 30 and 34.
I think it's going to be 2 a game, honestly. I think it's going to be 2 a game. I think it – so 2 a game, what is that, 34?
Yeah.
That's 34. Okay, and so we're both on the same page here, but I think it's going to be a little bit higher than even what you think. Okay, so the next one is my boy Gas Can. You set over under 775 yards rushing.
775. I'm going to do the math real quick because I think that's going to be over, but I'm going to tell you why.
It can't be more than 50 yards.
It's 45. He's definitely going to have more than 45 yards a game.
45 yards rushing, though, specifically.
Yeah, rushing. Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to have, he better have more than that.
Right. I agree. If Miles Gaskin doesn't have more than 45 yards rushing, we're going to lose a lot of games.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So yeah, so that's definitely for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think remember, this is not betting advice, but I think that's a easy over for me as well.
Yeah.
The next one and the final one for this prop bets popped or bopped, we got Mike Gesicki over under 665 receiving yards.
So that would be 665?
Yeah, that's like 35 yards a game.
That's 39 yards a game.
Yeah.
Who the hell's making these props, man?
I'm telling you, Las Vegas hates the Dolphins, dude. They think
I don't know. I don't know because I've seen their odds for wins and losses, and it's not that bad. I mean, if it's 9 wins and they're putting Gesicki at 39 yards per game, that's just fucking ridiculous.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I apologize for my language, by the way.
It's okay. I'll bleep you in post. But the thing I will say is that I've made a lot of money last year betting on my team, the Dolphins, because Vegas is usually does not think we ever win any games or do anything good. So 665 yards, 39 yards a game. That's an easy over for you as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, then that was prop bets popped or bopped. Let's move on to this. I have to say this right before we go into the game by game prediction. The power rankings for the NFL.com has come in. And I don't know if you saw this, Jorge, but we are 14th overall. We are right ahead of the Saints with Jameis Winston at the helm. And we are right behind the Pats with Mac Jones at their helm. What do you think?
Look, I think 14 is a good spot to be in. Honestly, okay. I think the Dolphins have yet a lot to prove. I would have been surprised if they were any higher than that. I would have been offended if they were below 16. I think 14 is a good place to start. And look, if they win this game and if they start the season with 2 or fewer losses, I think they're going to go up those rankings pretty quickly.
I think 14 means, let's assume that that means like 7 in each conference. So that means they're a playoff team, right?
Yeah.
With 14.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say that we're probably a fringe, not even a fringe wild card, probably a wild card one in the AFC.
Yeah.
And for that way, maybe it is good. And like you said, we haven't proven when the last time you saw the Dolphins play was week 17 versus the Bills when we just got crapped on. I don't think you could put them any higher, honestly.
I agree. What I'm looking at though right now is the quarterbacks ranking.
The QBs. I'm sure you've seen this.
Yeah.
Ooh, what is it? Where's Tua?
I'm at 17. And I haven't seen him yet.
He's gonna be like 25. I'm guessing 25. All right,
this is gonna piss me off. Okay, Tua's 25. Actually,
yes. Oh, I guessed it. I knew it.
And here's the comment. I'm gonna tell you who wrote this. Okay. Just to be fair, right? It was Greg Rosenthal, who I think is a pretty fair guy.
Yeah, I like Rosenthal.
And he says this: I fully expect this ranking to rise. The strength he had coming to is the accuracy, decision making, and timing often do not show up in a quarterback's rookie season. Tagovailoa looked more comfortable navigating the pocket in the preseason than he did a year ago. Okay, this is where I'm a bit, you know, ticked off. You've got Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, all ahead of Tua. All right. How can you guys have guys that have not played a single NFL down ahead of a guy that went 6-3 in his first season as a starter?
I think the world likes to hate on Tua. I don't know.
I think it's just a hype about the rookie quarterbacks. And look, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a great rookie season. I think Zach Wilson is going to have a lot of flashes. He's a very talented guy. I don't think Mac Jones is going to do that well.
Is Mac Jones rated higher?
Yeah. Yeah. Mac Jones is 22.
He's 22.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's saying, I'm putting all the rookies week one starters near one another because they all look the part in the preseason. They're this aggressively high because I expect them to reach the floor of what's seen as a good rookie season by a quarterback. And that floor has risen considerably in recent years. Look, I think Mac Jones is going to come in. He's going to hand off the ball a lot. He's going to have play action plays. They're not going to ask a lot of him read-wise or athletic-wise. I think they're expecting him to beat Tom Brady straight away. I don't think anyone could beat Tom Brady straight away.
Right.
I don't know. I think if you're going to do the quarterback rankings before the season starts, you shouldn't put people in that haven't played a single down. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what I think is actually super beautiful about everyone thinking that Tua is absolutely garbage? And the other part of them thinking he's garbage is them thinking that we want Watson so bad because Tua is garbage. The thing I will say on this whole thing is that I love it because I love being an underdog. I absolutely hate being in the media's crosshairs and they're like, oh, the Dolphins are getting really good. And then we get just slaughtered on primetime television or something.
Yeah. Like it always. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of like being an underdog, honestly.
Yeah. I'm very happy you've embraced my philosophy in primetime games. So.
Yeah, I know. That is. I just plagiarized your philosophy, is that you hate seeing the Dolphins on primetime because they disappoint us every time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's go into the game-by-game prediction. We're going to go game, like I just said, game-by-game. You tell me win-loss. You keep track of your losses in your head, okay?
All right. I'm actually going to write it down. I'm so prepared today.
All right, that works for me. Okay, the first game, of course, is the Patriots. What do you think?
I think it's a win.
And we'll talk more about why you think it's a win, so let's just move on, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the second game is, and I also have a win, the Bills, okay. Week two.
I think I would love to say win. Right now, before looking at both teams week one, I'm going to say loss.
I also have them as a loss, but splitting one and one in the division is so much better than how we started last season.
Yeah, I agree.
So that would be beautiful. And I just don't think I will never predict us over the Bills until we prove it. That's just my thing.
Yeah.
Week three against the Colts.
That's at home or away?
It is at home.
Okay. I think that's going to be a win.
That's a win for me as well. I think. Okay. You know, I don't know. I don't know if Carson Wentz's ankle is chill, but I also just, I don't know. I the Colts defense is very good. You got to respect that, but
yeah.
I think this is a win.
Yeah.
Week four at the Buccaneers, a team that a lot of people say could go 17-0.
I think once again, we've got to watch them play, but I think right now that we are lost.
Yeah, I just don't know if we can
just
play
because
with those boys.
Just because
I
think their offensive line and their defensive lines are better than our respective units there. So
and it's away. Also, this is the game that like most of the DolphinsTalk.com like podcasters, it's their meetup game. Like everyone's going to this game. So I hope we don't get slaughtered, but I think like it might happen. We'll see.
Wait, is there a group chat that I'm not in?
No. There's literally no group chat. They just sometimes post about it. And then I'm just like, of course. they post about this, like this big meetup. Anyone can come. So so the next game is at Jacksonville.
That's
versus Urban Meyer. I know you hate Urban Meyer. I don't have to bring this up. So
I don't hate him. I just have no respect for him as a human being or as a coach.
That's the same thing. That is the same thing. Having no respect for someone. I have no respect for like a dumpster outside. And I think, you know, like that's the same thing.
Did you just compare Urban Meyer with a dumpster and then accuse me of hating him?
No.
I'm just asking, man.
I was putting it in perspective how much you hate him. you know, let's go on. I have that as a win as well. And okay. So right now for me, I'm I think they're 3-2.
They're both of us. They're 3-2 right now.
3-2 for both of us. We haven't disagreed yet. And then we're going to face the Falcons at home.
I think that's a win.
I think that's a win too. I don't know why they would be better at losing Julio Jones and adding Kyle Pitts. I don't know why.
I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I think they are going to be probably a little bit better than advertised, middle of the NFL. I think like a 9-8 season.
Bottom 7, bottom 6.
Wow. Okay. Then we go at the Bills after we've, you know, we were at home in week 2. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to say loss in this one.
Okay. Same with me. We got 4-3 going into at home versus the Texans, who will presumably be Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I think that should be a win.
Yeah, no. If we lose this game, I'm going to have a mental breakdown, dude. That is an easy layup, yeah. I hope. Okay, then we have a tough one at home versus the Ravens.
I think it's going to be a win.
Oh, wow. Okay, why is that?
I think Brian Flores remembers his first game as the Dolphins coach. I think that's going to be the revenge game for Brian Flores, where they were just, you know, throwing, faking punts and stuff like that when they were up by 30. And I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of a Brian Flores revenge game. And honestly, I just think the injuries that they're suffering in the running game are just going to hinder them throughout the year.
Yeah. Did you hear just today about Gus Edwards?
Two of them. Yeah, and Marcus Peters apparently as well.
Oh my goodness! They actually stopped
practicing because it was one after the other, like straight away.
Wow, I would be so demoralized at that point. I hope they're okay. Obviously.
Yeah.
So goodness gracious. But I would say this is probably a loss because I just, the two teams that I will never, ever bet against, especially against the Dolphins, is the Bills and the Ravens. Because every time we play them, they eat our lunch.
Don't you think this is going to be the Brian Flores revenge game?
I don't know. Maybe it could be. Is he 0-2 against them? Is that what it is? Or 0-1?
I think it's 0-1, right? We've only played them once.
Oh, yeah. He's been here 2 years. So, yeah.
And it was his first game as Dolphins coach. John Harbaugh was running fake punts and stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh. I do remember that game. Hollywood Brown in his first game had like a 90-yard touchdown too,
yeah,
right?
It was a great game for them. They won by, I don't know, 40 points or something like that. They put 50 up on the scoreboard. And they were running fake punts and stuff like that in the third quarter.
Yeah, the Bills and the Ravens have run up the score with us the last time they played us.
Yeah, I think that the Ravens one is one that Brian Flores is never going to forget.
Okay, well then you think that's a revenge game. I think that's a loss, but it could be a win. I could see your point there. Then we're at Jets. We can just say win there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I will say this. I don't think it's going to be such an easy win. I think the Jets are going to be way tougher than people think.
Okay, and that's fair. And you've put a little respect on Josh. Zach Wilson's name, which is nice of you.
And Robert Saleh, I think Robert Saleh is also a good coach.
Yeah,
I have no reason to question that. So I think their defense is going to improve. I think Zach Wilson is a very talented young quarterback who's going to make rookie mistakes. But next year and the year after that, I think he's going to be probably their third best quarterback in this division.
No, he definitely has a gun on him. And also, he has a really cute mom. And that's also part of it for me. So.
Oh my God.
You can't bring him up without me talking about his mom. You know that. Okay, so let's go to at home versus the Panthers.
Win.
I have that as the surprise loss because I think the next, like, out of the, you know, the next 5 games, I bet you'll predict all wins in a row. But I know us. We had one game last year. You remember Denver? You remember Denver?
Yeah, I do remember Denver.
This is going to be our Denver. I think CMC is going to be hard to bottle up for us.
I mean, but let's also remember that Denver was basically their defensive line bullying our offensive line.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's fair. What happened, essentially.
Yeah, that's fair. And also, Tua just wasn't ready for that one. He just wasn't.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I still think this will be our surprise loss, and we'll just, you know, eat that and move on. So we got Giants at home.
I think that's going to be – that's in London, right?
Sorry, it counts as a home game, but it's
is that in London or is that is that Jacksonville one?
I think you're in London. I think you're in London with the Giants.
All right,
right?
Well, against the Giants, I think that's going to be a win.
Okay, that's a win for me as well. And then the second game against the Jets, this time at home.
All right, so that's going to be a win as well.
I think we're sweeping them. We usually don't have problems sweeping the Jets, honestly. But you don't want to jinx it too much. Yeah. Then we do at the Saints. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a win.
I do too. I just don't respect Jameis Winston's game. And I also think it's just going to be X is going to eat in this game. I mean, he could have 5 picks on this guy.
Yeah.
The next one we got for you, probably the hardest one of the one of the hardest ones of the season, top three, is at the Titans. Ryan Tannehill versus Tua.
I don't know, man. I love Ryan Tannehill, and I think Derrick Henry's going to have a good season once again. I'm going to say loss on that one.
I also put it as a loss. And did you know that Ryan Tannehill's son's name is Steele?
I did know that fact.
That's insane. What a name. I tell you.
Steele Tannehill.
Steele. Oh, my gosh. That guy is going to be a lady killer. You know, I'm going to put this as a loss for Scherzies. Derrick Henry will run all over us.
I will say this. If the Dolphins defense manages to be a top 8 at stopping the run going to that game, that's going to be a win.
We're not
going to
be top 8, but I'll give you that caveat.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last game to end the season. I love a week. This is week 18. Sorry. Week 18 versus the Patriots at home.
It's going to be a win.
And you think we'll finish with a dub. Okay. Yeah. And I also chose a W. So what is that? How many losses?
All right. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 losses. So that's a 13-4 record with me. Because I've got losses against Buffalo twice, Tampa Bay once, and Tennessee. And then you've got losses against Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Buffalo once again, Baltimore, Carolina. You've got way more losses than me. You've got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've got 6 losses. So you're saying 11-6. I'm saying 13-4.
But don't act like I'm being blasphemous. I think you're just being a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah, I think my scenario is like the best case scenario if the Dolphins play as well as they can every single game.
Yeah. And I'm going 11-6, which is one more game than they won last year, and they'll make the playoffs with this schedule, you know, with this record. So I think we both were very kind to our Dolphins.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's head into the final thing we got to talk about on the season predictions. Let's do our awards, our yearly awards. Let's do team MVP, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and then we can head over to Dolphins versus Patriots. So, who do you got for team MVP? I know I'm putting you on the spot here. I didn't even tell you about this.
Yeah, I think MVP is going to be either Andrew Van Ginkel as a sack leader for the Dolphins.
Okay.
Or obviously Tua just running that offense.
Okay, and Van Ginkel, I would love to see Van Ginkel doing that.
I just think Van Ginkel is one of those guys where he doesn't have to have like 15 sacks, but he can have 10. And then a couple of forced fumbles and then interception and just very, very diverse stat sheet.
Oh, no, that's fair. I would pick for me Mike Gesicki, actually. And I picked him for both team MVP and offensive player of the year. Well, actually, if I'm not counting Gesicki for offensive player of the year, I would put someone different. But Mike Gesicki for me, because I just think he is ready to take that that insane step. And I think Tua showed in the preseason that he likes to skip that biscuit over to him. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I think Gesicki's going to be probably the receiving leader and touchdown leader for this offense. And I hope that we renew him soon. I don't know. I think that was the easy answer. I decided to go a bit more diverse.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, and then let's do defensive player of the year. What do you got?
Andrew Van Ginkel.
Oh, right. You pick Van Ginkel. So you do offensive player. I'll do defensive player because that's kind of, that's how
we'll do it. Sounds good.
So defensive player for me, this is kind of just me being a little bit optimistic. I really want, I want Baker to be that guy. You know what I mean? Okay. Like he's not a captain. He's not a captain this year, but he's been a captain in the past. And we've always thrown money at him and said, he's like one of our best players. And I really want to see it this season because I've seen flashes and I think he could do it.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I've got a comment on Jerome Baker for this week against the Patriots. My offensive player of the year, I think it's going to be Gesicki as well. Or my dark horse is your guy, Gaskin.
Ah, yeah. See, that's what I put. If I if I didn't count Gesicki in both awards, I would have put Gascan as my offensive player of the year. Okay, so let's move on to the actual the game. Week one, Patriots versus Dolphins. Let's do this. I have a segment called The Press is Stupid, and Here is Proof. The first one I got for you is CBS predicts, and I really, like, honestly, I tried to scour the internet to find someone picking the Dolphins. I couldn't find nobody.
I didn't know Donald Trump was my co-host this week. Just calling the press stupid, man.
The press is fake news, and it's all so stupid. You know the thing I'll say? I'm saying this right now. I could not find anyone that picked the Dolphins. So I just picked the top three articles because they were all basically the same. CBS has the Patriots winning 24-20. Yahoo has the Patriots winning 24-23, and Bleacher Report has the Patriots winning 24-20. So it's pretty similar, honestly. So just right there off the bat, you know, thoughts, I guess.
Sorry, you kind of broke up there.
Okay. So I kind of set up that everyone in the press thinks we're going to lose.
Yeah.
I guess what do you think?
The thing that's crazy is that everyone's like thinking the Patriots are going to put 20 plus points on this Dolphins defense.
Right.
And here's the thing. If the Patriots are able to establish a strong running game against the Dolphins defense, we're going to struggle. Right. That's fact.
Yeah.
But if the Dolphins are able to start quick with that offense, that's very quick hit, you know, RPO, control the tempo of the game, put 20 points quickly on the board and force them to start throwing and relying on Mac Jones. There's no way that the Patriots offense goes over 12 points in the Dolphins defense.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Especially the first part of that whole thing, which was if they're running really well on us, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, if they run the ball on us and manage to stop our offense, then it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've got some interesting facts for you on that.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'll tell you in the next segment with the matchups.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So the thing I want to read real quick is just basically what you said. It's from Yahoo, who thinks the Patriots are going to win 24-23. Yahoo says the offense will take the pressure off of Jones with a steady diet of Damian Harris and the ground game. The tempo will be slowed down to keep the score in range, and the defense will give Tua a whole lot of funky problems to deal with. And I think that is exactly the blueprint that they're using right now. Because I wrote an article just this week about, you know, rookie, you know, QBs. And the last time that the Patriots had a rookie quarterback playing football for them in his first start was Jacoby Brissett, which is our boy, our number two string.
Yeah.
And he played the Texans. And this is exactly what they did. They ran for 200 yards, three touchdowns. The dude only threw the ball like 12 times, and they won by a ton. So,
I agreed.
Know.
Absolutely. I think that has to be the game plan. I think Brian Flores knows that. I also think Belichick knows that Brian Flores knows that.
Right.
So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup for sure.
Okay. Well,
I will say this. I would suggest anyone that's a better, and again, this is not legal advice and I am not an expert, but I would say that looking at the numbers, I don't see how they go over, which is like at 43.5, something like that.
What, say that one more time.
I don't see how this game goes over the 43.5 line that's right now.
And I think that goes right into my next segment on the show, which I wanted to do a little prop bets for the game too. It's over or under 43.5, and you don't think they're getting over 43.5.
I think it's under. The only way I see it going over is if the Dolphins offense manages to break open the Patriots defense, which is not going to be easy, and I don't think it's going to happen. And then we just put like 30 up on them or something.
I don't know.
I don't see it happening.
I think it has to happen if we're going to win. I think that's it has to happen because
so you
I
think
don't
think it's going to be like an offensive like matchup then.
Well, I mean, if it's a defensive matchup, I don't know if we win that game because it's going to be a lot of we need those. We need to scrape for some yards in the rushing game in like a defensive matchup. And that's just like not where we're going to flourish, you know. So I think we need it to be an offensive shootout because Mac Jones will not be able to carry that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it has to be over for us to win, but you're probably right. It's going to be under, and that'll make it a little slippery slope. The thing I'll say is I'll just ask one more because I think this is an interesting question. Do you think Tua goes over or under 229 yards?
I think he goes over.
You think he does? Okay.
Yeah.
But you think it's going to be low scoring. You just think he's going to throw a lot.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of yak, where the Dolphins are going to go just quick up tempo, put up 20, and then keep the Patriots under 10. Or it's going to be an offensive matchup, and then we're just going to have to throw it all around.
Okay. I agree. I think it's going over 229. I think it's going to go over 275. Okay, so let's go to our final, two amigos segment, because you're calling me out on how I say it. Of the week, we got the golden matches. We got the golden matchups. Jorge, this is your segment. Lead us. What are the matchups to look at in this game?
So I've got all of my matchups are actually unit matchups. I couldn't find any individual matchups in this game to highlight. And I think that talks about the identity of both teams, where it's a team first mentality, where you sacrifice for each other and stuff like that, right? So my first matchup is the Dolphins offensive line against the Patriots front seven.
The Patriots, did you say front seven?
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, give us a little.
And here's the thing, the Dolphins were 29th this year in yards per play rushing. They averaged 3.9 yards per play.
Right.
But they were only sacked on 5.73% of their pass plays, which is actually not bad. It's middle of the field. But the Pats were 20th at stopping their own, giving up 4.5 yards per rush. And only sack the quarterback in 4.6 times over their time. However, they do have two new additions from last year. Dont'a Hightower, who's coming back after that COVID time off. He's got 25 and a half sacks total in his career. And they also had Matt Judon, right? Who's a Pro Bowler. He went to a Pro Bowl last year. If there would have been a Pro Bowl, he has 34.5 sacks. He had six last year. And him in that Belichick coach scheme, I think, is going to be very dangerous. So that's my first matchup. If the Dolphins offensive line manages to get 4 yards per carry, then I think this is a game that the Dolphins could win.
I hope it's going to have to open up through play action. I mean, is that going to have to be the move?
That's the thing, right? Are you going to use RPO to open up the running game and just have that threat of run? Or are you going to use the running game to open up that play action game?
Yeah.
And we don't know right now, right? We need to see this new offense with Stutzfield and Gutsy and hope that they're using the players to their abilities.
And I do like the Miles Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed, tit for tat home run hitter type thing.
Here's the thing.
I think it's gonna be good.
And I think if they start to run it outside and get those 4 yards, get those 5 yards, put Tua in positions where he can take a shot in second down or just run it for first downs and handing it off, then I think this Dolphins offense should be able to control the tempo. But if you constantly put Tua on third and long, forcing those long drop back passes against Judon and Hightower with the questions at offensive tackle right now, it could be a very long day.
I totally agree. Okay, give us our second matchup to
the
look
second
out
one
for.
Is actually the mirror of that one. It's the Patriots offensive line against the Dolphins front seven.
Okay, and how's this
and we talked
out?
About and we talked about it, right? The Patriots are going to want to run the ball. They were eighth last year with 4.7 yards per play, but they did give up sacks in 7.76% of their pass plays. So that was 26, and they lost their best offensive lineman in Thuney in the offseason. So I expect the Dolphins defense to exploit it. Dolphins were actually eighth in sacks, 7.6%, and they gave up 4.5 yards per play. So I think the Dolphins should be able to dominate that. I think the additions of Butler and Jenkins in the middle of that defensive line rotation is going to help. I think if Rekwon Davis takes that huge step up that we're all hoping for, then he's just going to, be a man, a beast, a behemoth of a man in the middle of that defensive line. And then you're just hoping that Landon Roberts manages to just plug up the holes.
I can't reiterate this enough. If we let them run well, they're going to beat us. They're going to beat us. You know what I mean? They're at home. And you know what I mean? If you're going to just let Mac Jones, just be a chaperone, then sure.
Just play action. Just shoot off play action.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He can do that. Like, that's why they cut Cam Newton, because they know that he can do like the baby stuff. So I think it's going to be specifically this matchup is the one that I'm going to be like, please, for the love of God, if they're getting five a carry, we're losing.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a good one. All right, give us our final.
And the final
matchup.
One, it's going to be the New England pass catchers, which is currently led by Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith in the tight end position. Because I've looked at that wide receiver unit, and it doesn't scare anyone. especially if you got Xavier Howard and Byron Jones and Coleman and Needham playing up to their level, the outside should be covered. But when you're talking about, you know, Jonnu Smith, who had 41 receptions last year, then you got Hunter Henry. It's a good combination, right? But here's a good fact. Hunter Henry only had 30 yards against Dolphins last year. He got 4 out of 6 targets. He did go for a touchdown. And he had 7.5 yards per catch, which is not good, right? I think Jonnu Smith is going to be a good second tight end. And here's my question. Who's going to be your second tight end eraser?
I don't know.
Is it going to be Javon Holland? Is it going to be Brandon Jones? Is it going to be Jerome Baker, who hasn't always been the best in coverage? I think that's the third matchup, which is going to be interesting. If the Dolphins manage to stop that run game, or even if that running game gets going and they start going off play action to those tight ends, who are you going to put there to minimize the damage?
Well, you're right. You were saying this last week on the show a little bit, is that these tight ends, we got one tight end eraser. That's what you said. And there's two good tight ends. And I'll tell you right now, one or the other is going to beat us. Whoever we don't put Rowe on.
I don't know. I think Javon Holland I think Brandon Jones both have the ability to help out. And I think it's going to be interesting. I was reading this week that Dolphins have a package that calls for 9 defensive backs.
Oh, my goodness. I think we have the manpower. But
so, I mean, that's what Eric Rowe, McCurdy, Jones, and Holland. Those are the 4 safeties. And then you're talking about 5 cornerbacks, right? Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, Coleman, Needham. Who's your 5th guy? That's my question.
That's a good question.
Fejidlam? I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but is it Clayton?
I hope not. I don't like him on the field, honestly.
Honestly, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know who's going to be that. Is it going to be Noah? I mean, that's a question, right? If it's 9 defensive backs, who's the 9th guy?
I think it'd have to be Noah, right?
Yeah, that, you know, if he's a former first round pick, you'd expect him to be there.
If you're 9 deep and your first round pick from 2 years ago is still not on the field, that could be a red flag. Okay, I'll say this. Yeah, I think like Damien Harris and then whoever is not guarded by Rowe, those two players on offense, the ones you're gonna be like, oh goodness gracious, like you're crossing your fingers about.
Also, here's the thing. I've got Damien Harris on both of my fantasy football teams, and I'm benching him this week. I'm benching him this week.
Okay, you're benching him. Thank God, dude. Thank God. At least you have self-respect, okay?
Because also, I've got Jerome Baker at Dolphins defense on my fantasy teams because we play with defensive players, so I've got Jerome Baker there.
That is so weird. Please get out of that league. That is an insane league. You should not have defensive players.
In one league, we've got 1 defensive player, and then another league, we've got 2 defensive players, 3 wide receivers, quarterback, super flex. It's a crazy thing.
I hate that. So never bring that up again on the show. I'm kidding. The final thing I want to go to, bold prediction for the game, and then, you know, the overall prediction, and then we got to get out of here because my friends are coming over in 5 minutes to watch this Cowboys Buccaneers game. So
yeah. So my bold prediction is 2 Dolphins players are going to have multiple sacks, and it's going to be AVG, Van Ginkle, and the second one might surprise is going to be Sam Igwovan.
Is going to have what? 2 sacks?
Multiple sacks.
That is insane. Okay. I mean, yeah, right. You would hope that if we have like all these boys healthy, X, Byron, et cetera, we should be locking these guys up. We really should.
And if we force Mac Jones to hold onto the ball, that front 7 with some good blitz, these guys, some good play design, they should get into backfield.
Watch Mac Jones be the next Tom Brady, dude. Like, just watch this dude. Just watch this guy.
Dude, you're the jinxer in chief. Just shut up.
Surgically melt us just on shut the field up. Jesus with Christ. Laser beams. No, I'm kidding. I don't think.
I will say this. Legal disclaimer. Carter Melrose is the jinxer in chief of Dolphins of Dolphins fandom. So whatever happens, it's his fault.
I'll take that. I don't mind it. You know, the my bold prediction here is always pretty similar because I think Myles Gaskin is going to get a buck. So that's a hundy. He's going to drop a hundy on this defense and a score. So that's a hundy
is that 100 yards rushing or total yards?
No, 100 yards rushing. I think he gets 45 yards receiving, something like that.
Okay. Okay.
I think he's going to do well. I really do. I think he's going to be a deciding factor.
Okay, bold prediction. The Dolphins win this game. I mean, this is not bold prediction. This is my score prediction. Sorry.
Score prediction. Yeah, give it to us.
Yeah, Dolphins are going to win this game 30-6.
32-6?
30-6. 33-0-6.
That is insane, and I love it. I love it. I love the gumption on you.
I think there's going to be 3 offensive touchdowns. I think there's going to be a safety, and I think there's going to be a defensive touchdown. And I think we're going to give up 2 field goals.
Okay. Well, you know what? I love that so, so much, and I totally agree. I've been saying it all week long that I'm going to put my money where my mouth is because I'm putting my mortgage on this on the money line for the Dolphins. I'm putting everything and my dog. And I'll tell you right now, I think it's going to land. I just do not see it physically possible that Mac Jones could beat this team. And if he does, I'm going to be devastated. So I'm going to go.
Let me just quick disclaimer. Once again, we're not betting experts. It's not betting advice. And you're not liable for whatever decisions you'll make after following Carter's stupid advice.
Okay. Don't put your life savings or your car on the game. Fine. Are you happy, Jorge? But
I am happy. Thank you very much.
Okay. Here's what I'll say. I am going to go, and I've said that, and I've posted this. I think they win by 14. I think it's going to be 27-13, going to be clean. I don't think they're going to have a score fest, but I just don't think they're going to put up points with Mac Jones. So that's what I got. That's what I got. This is, you got anything on the way out, Jorge, before I go watch the Cowboys beat the Bucks?
Yeah, that's not going to happen either, but okay. nothing. I'm so excited about week one finally being here. I'm so excited about this season. And thank you to all our listeners. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Good, the good, the bad, what you don't like, what you do like. And just tell us your thoughts about our predictions.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jorge. This has been the Two Amigos. I will see you next week. And of course, Jorge will as well. I think you're good.
I will.
Ah, there we go. Okay, it's been a good show. Enjoy week one football, of course.